You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Down like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the stylist knee, and he was talking to moccasin and joke. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And I'm sorry to tell you that Tom is busy back east again. He's still there. He's got a New York date. I don't know. There's too many things going on. And it carried over from last week to this week. So he's still negotiating some things, terms and other things with the movie and a couple other issues that we're taking care of. It's a busy time. It's either feast or famine. Famine, you're always looking for something to do and things to go. Feast, you don't have enough time to do it all, and that's what we're at right now. But it's a good thing. For all my listeners, got emails in and things for various different shows here. A couple shows ago, last week, and also some guest book entries and things. I want to thank all you listeners out there for talking to us about it. Had a pretty good number of calls on the Bigfoot hotline, and it's still active out there, I tell you. A couple of pranks. I had a young guy call me, and he said he was calling from He said he was calling from Montana. I'm just going to explain it to you. And he said he was calling from Montana, but I looked at his area code. He was calling from Escondido, California. This area code number was wrong. And he said, what do you do when you shoot a Bigfoot? And I said, normally, I said, you barbecue him. And then barbecue him. He said, no. He said, I really shot one. And I said, oh, really? And I said, where are you? And he said, well, I shot it about 5 minutes ago. And I started asking him questions about, can you see the face? And he said, well, yeah. I said, what does it look like? He says, it's all bloody. But it was a prank, and obviously, and it was a high school kid trying to get his Friday afternoon or evening jollies in with his friends. I could hear the giggling in the background. But we do get some calls like that, but quite a few of them are serious though, and we did get some. I got a couple from up in Virginia and North Carolina, and pretty active. One thing I'd like to bring up, our good friend Jody is from North Carolina. And, she went through the surgery on her knees last week and sent out a little bunch of prayers. She's out of the hospital, but we're going to have her back on here in about maybe a week or two when she recovers enough, when she feels better to do that. But she's really got a lot of stuff. Tom went out and the team went out to visit her not too long ago, and her and her friend, and my gosh, I mean those they've had a lot of interaction with these creatures. But just as well as our first guest tonight, we have Mindy from Tennessee back again. And I'd like to introduce her and have her come on here, and we're going to be able to find out some more things that are going on with Mindy. Mindy, how are you tonight?
Good. Good.
And how have you been?
Yeah, pretty good. You able to hear me fine? I hope I don't lose signal.
Oh, yeah, you're coming in really loud and clear. Good.
Okay.
Mindy, why don't you just tell us some more things? There's a lot of things that you didn't get a chance to talk about. I don't want to corner you into any one particular area, but why don't you just tell us about some things that, some interesting things that you're interested in with these creatures, and tell us about that. How's that?
I'll just re-explain that.
Sure.
I had many interactions growing up in Minnesota. My family was very outdoorsy, so I traveled all over the state. So because of trauma in my childhood, I became an expert at blocking things out, especially things that were shocking. And so whenever I'd have an encounter, I would block it out. And so just within the past year, because of prescription vitamin D off and on for a couple of years, then about a year ago, I started remembering these encounters, and I'm starting to write a book on it. So I had started to talk about an incident where I was camping, and my two brothers were in the campsite with me. I think my other sisters were elsewhere. And I believe we were camping this time without our parents. And, we were a little bit older, and we thought we'd camp out there ourselves. And this is a campground that we had frequented quite often, but it was like 30 miles north of where this one habituation was that I had previous encounters at. And so I'm guessing maybe in my early 20s, And I was sitting in the campsite with my two brothers, and I was talking about something I was learning in college, I swear. I don't know for sure exactly what the conversation was, but it was explained at a conference that I was at in January that they have a psychic ability to make you feel like they're one of you. And so I believe that that's what happened when this took place, is that I was just pretty much oblivious that they were there. I mean, I was just kept on going around talking. And they were kind of like, there were two of them that came into the camp on their hands and knees. They kind of crawled in. They're doing, you know, just kind of searching our campsite, just looking in the tent, looking at what was, you know, over, you know, on the fire, you know, just searching things. You know, there wasn't anything that, I don't know if they even took anything, if they took any food, but they were just kind of, you know, flipping things over, looking, and this is in broad daylight, and they're both.
So what time was it then, Mindy? What time was it then, Wendy?
I think it was probably in the afternoon. And then, they're both like older juveniles, so they're coming out of that juvenile stage. So one was a little bit larger than the other one. And then the older one kind of turned, and, you know, and I was just, you know, talking to my brothers, you know, being oblivious to this, what was going on. And I know this sounds unbelievable, but this is what happened. And this one, you know, he just kind of turned and gave me this direct look with this big smile on his face. And I don't know if it was the same one that was in my tent. It could, you know, but I explained a couple, you know, weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, it was at the very, very same shape, face, everything. Maybe it was. I don't know. I mean, I know that the one, he was quite a bit younger then, you know, at his same shape, face, everything. But this one had black hair, and the one in my tent, I believe, had dark brown with, like, a reddish tinge. And I don't know if their hair color changes as they get older. So, he turned and he gave me this direct look with this smile on his face and just, you know, went back, you know, looking around, and then they left. They left up the hill, and there was these couple pine trees because we were right on the edge of the woods and then the lake was down below. And then I had blocked it out, must have been soon after, and because I remember while they're in the campsite that my one brother said, Mindy, you know, and I was just oblivious. I just kept on talking, you know, and then, so then after, I know, isn't that weird? So then after it was over and I had blocked it out, and it's like I was drawn to go up that hill where they had left, and I didn't know why I wanted to go up there. And my brother, one brother said, Mindy, don't go up there. That's what those guys want. And he called them guys. He didn't say,
yeah,
you know, he didn't say bears. He didn't say, he said, that's where those guys went. I said, what guys? What are you talking about? He's like, because I had totally blocked it out. But obviously he remembered and, you know, and explained before that there's a family feud going and we are on speaking terms. You know, I haven't talked to him for 23 years. And I'd love to talk to him to find out what he remembers. But that's just not the case, you know. I can't call and talk to him.
Well, what did the face? Can you recall the facial features?
You know, it's white skin.
Can you describe the face?
Yeah, it's just, you know, round face, very human.
More human or more ape?
No, it's more human. In Minnesota, I believe that's what the Indians say too. That they look very human. I think they look very few.
Was it hairy and the skin was kind of the same color? Was it, you know, like kind of a white or a brownish skin or what?
Just white skin all the way through, all the way through, and then you know, just the black hair.
Facial hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, facial hair.
Not on the face. No, there was no facial hair.
Oh, okay.
No. Yep, it's just very...
Well, the reason I ask, there are different species of this creature.
Right, and that's what I wonder is how many different species there are.
We don't know. I mean,
wouldn't that be interesting?
I mean, we know the ones that we've gotten reports on.
Right, we'd have to have every clan DNA tested to find out, you know, are these the same or aren't they, you know?
Well, we've gotten a DNA on several different things, and the DNA is not the same either.
Really?
The couple of DNAs are human, ancient human, not regular human. I mean, ancient human, like 15,000 years or more.
Right.
And then some of the others are not human and not ape, and they're about two genomes or two or three genomes from human. On the DNA scale, right?
Right.
So, you know, like Cro-Magnon or something, it would be its own race or, you know, own species.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's amazing. I mean, and then there's, of course, the other one is the one that we've only recently in the last couple of years or 3 years, seen, and we'd only seen it or had it a couple of times. One of our big stories that we had about, you know, 3 years ago, where a guy in Wisconsin was working for had a contract to pick up the roadkill, and one of these creatures came up in the back of his truck, and he looked in the rearview mirror, and it had a dog snout and face and fangs and all that, and when he seen it running, it was stood up like a human, ran like a human, all those things like a human, but it had a dog face, like a dog, a lot of people say werewolf, but I don't like to say werewolf.
I wonder if your accurate term for that is called a bipedal wolf.
Well, I don't know. it was seen in several times in Minnesota. The last time that I had a report on it was last year, and it was reported three times, West Virginia, and once in Georgia in the last 3 years, 2 years, and plus in Canada. Canada is where we first, that was our second thing. A guy actually went up there. He didn't speak English. He spoke French. And he went up to Canada to the Seven Chutes in the area there, and he was taking pictures, and he took some pictures, and when he went home and developed pictures, he had this picture of this creature carrying a dead dog. And you could get the picture of the snout. It's all on the website. Up there.
I think I've seen that one, and to me I thought that one looked different than a picture that I've seen. There was another picture of like a bipedal wolf in Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, there was a video or something too, and that was
it looked like a head of a wolf.
Yeah,
but the one in Canada,
it's really I say dog face because it was more, you know, more of a dog looking kind of a, you know, snout, you know, wolf as a I don't know the. But, I mean, those are the different kinds of things that we've come across. It's very difficult to put things together because there's so many different varieties. There's several different varieties of the creature. In the South, there's a very light, small 5 to 6 foot creature, as well as the, you know, 8 and 9 foot creature. And also, there's the skunk ape, which is... It looks more orangutan, you know, ape-like orangutan type in some of the pictures that we've seen.
Yes.
And then there's a you know, the regular foot, you know, human foot, and there's a three-toed version.
So, yeah, that's what I heard.
There's a whole bunch of different things. So it makes it difficult, so that's why I ask all these questions all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Because some of them have facial hair covering completely, and you can't hardly see anything but a nose and a mouth and eyes, right?
Right.
And it's like a really heavy, thick beard covering it. And on the cheeks you can see, you know, the skin, but that's it. And everything else is all covered with hair. But there's different varieties, you know, and it makes it more difficult.
Do you have any sketches of all?
Yeah, we have sketches. Yeah, we have sketches.
Did you put that on the website?
Oh, I did. They're on there somewhere in one of our expedition things.
We had
somebody draw the dog face.
Yeah.
From Wisconsin.
Oh.
Yeah, they actually drew it. Actually, we had there's a lady in Wisconsin. She's an author and she's written a book and she spent about 18 years now tracking down this creature. It's called the Beast of Bray Road. And that's pretty well known for 40-some years, Wisconsin. And she's written all the stories. There's another, she spent a lot of time. She wrote a couple of books on it. And, but, you know, there's a lot of different things. It's hard to, and that's why we ask so many questions. But it's not because we doubt anything. It's just try to figure out what the different characteristics of these things are.
Yeah.
So anyway, yours was more human, which is good. Yeah, and we've heard the same report from the Native Americans up there. The video that the state took from them about 3 years ago. They had a complete video of a creature, and the Department of whatever, I forgot what it was now, which department it was, but they went out and got the film and said they needed to review it, and of course it got lost.
Oh no!
Never gave it back to the tribe. Never gave it back to the tribe.
Oh
and,
no!
And I would have never given them I would have given them a copy of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that was the reason I was asking you that question. So anyway, continue on. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, there's a couple of requests for me to get back to the creature that crawled into the tent. Well, I pretty much told everything. You want me to repeat it? I don't know how much time I have left. Probably not.
Oh, I mean on
the chat room. Yeah,
chat room.
Question. I get back.
Well, you can tell them. Yeah, you tell them if you want.
Well, I already told the story a couple of weeks ago, but I'll tell it again really quick. Is that I had been chased out of the woods earlier in the day, and then that night I was going to stay in the tent, and my nephews were supposed to stay out there with me, but they got scared because they had seen it chasing me out of the woods, and they called it a man. Did you see that man that was right behind you? And I said no, and then so it went back in the woods, and I had went straight into the house, and I had blocked it out. I come back out later, and then my nephew's asking me, and then I said, no, I didn't know. But anyway, I stayed out in the tent that night. There was swimming, because it was right next to the lake, there was swimming going on in it right out in front of the woods, and nobody swims there, especially at night. It's just, but I could hear these giggling, laughing, very, very quiet. You would have to, it would be so quiet that you would have had to be outside in order to hear it. And then, but I was able to hear it from my tent, and I thought, who in the world is out here swimming at this time of night? Because it was like 2 a.m. or something. So I went back to sleep, and then I heard these hoops, like, you know, and I don't know, it was like at least 4 of them in different parts of the woods, and they're coming towards the tent, and they're hooping. And then they get, I thought, oh my God, they're coming over here. And then I thought, well, I went back to sleep, you know, I was so tired, you know. And so then I, well, then later, I heard this very, very quiet rustling in the tent. It was so quiet. That's how stealth it was. It was so quiet. It was just this quiet rustling inside the tent. So I turn on the flashlight, and there he was. He was still making his way into the tent. He was kind of dragging his legs and crawling into the tent. His legs, he was so narrow. I guess I didn't talk about that, how narrow his body was. He was probably just, I mean, he was like narrow, where he could probably hide behind a tree easy. I don't know, like, I mean, he hadn't started developing yet, so he was obviously starting to go into puberty. But he was like, at the beginning stages of teen, and he was narrow.
Yeah, the juvenile.
Yeah, he's a juvenile with, you know, dark brown hair and, you know, reddish tinge. And I did a quick once over with my eyes, and he had this big smile on his face. Almost giddy, where he was almost holding back laughter. He was so smiley. And, I mean, just the most, like, psychologically well-adjusted kid that you would ever want to meet. I mean, it's just incredible how, I know that sounds weird, but it's like, you know, when you meet somebody where it's like, he must have had really good parents, that's all I can say. And just really smiley. And then he just stayed against the side of the tent, watched me, and I just, oh my God, all these things are racing through my head. You know, here, you know, you're right in front of me, and you're supposedly this mythological creature, and you're right here. And so he's just against the side of the tent and watching me, and I thought, oh my God, I gotta figure out what to do. So I closed my eyes. I just, you know, I gave him a quick look over, you know, the full length of his body, and I closed my eyes. I gotta, you know, I just kind of put my head down, closed my eyes, and I thought, oh my God, I gotta think of a neutral response to give him because I didn't know what he's capable of. I didn't know if I was gonna get killed or what. So I turned my back to him. I turned back. And because if I would start to open up my eyes again, he would start to lean towards me. So he pretty much stayed to the side of the tent. When I opened up my eyes a little bit, he would start leaning towards me. So then I turned my back towards him, and then he started poking me on my right hip, not the butt cheek, on the side. On the side, right,
yeah.
The like side right of the hip, below yeah. The bone. And
yeah.
He just kept on poking, and he kept going, He kept poking me over and over and over and over. It just went on forever. And I'd lost track of time, I tell you. I don't even know how long it was. I don't know. And then, you know, it was like getting daylight. And I something else that I had left out is that I heard my dad saying, he started chuckling, thinking that, you know, something else was going on in the tent. And then somebody had come out of the house and he bolted out of the tent. But he kept on poking me and going, and then just kept poking me. And then I explained, I had, you know, well, he bolted out of the tent. I got up later, and then by the time I got up, I had blocked it out. And so when I went into the house, and my dad asked me, Minnie, who was in the tent with you? I said, nobody. Because I had blocked it out. I had blocked the whole dang thing out. And so then, but I explained that later on in life, What I was walking is a different woods altogether, and whether they followed me there, I don't know. It's possible, but this is like sometime later where I was, you know, I'd go in for a walk in the woods and I'd pray, and I was sitting on this specific log, and through telepathy I knew that one wanted to poke me in that same spot. And so I've come to figure out that that means that they want to have sex.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we know they, recently we know that they do. We've had an incident here within the last month. So we know that that does really happen. Before that, it was pretty much, you know, folk legend from a lot of the Native American legends and things. But
that what
this actually happened.
What happened?
Yeah. Well, a lady was actually taken by one of the creatures, came in the house and took her out to his lair, and the husband couldn't find her for 2 days, and he called the Bigfoot hotline, and Tom had him call 911, and the guy was afraid to go back into his house. And what happened was, what ended up, they did a search and they did find the lady. She was alive, but she had been molested, and they took her back in the hospital and that. And we don't know what the whole outcome was, because the guy obviously wanted to keep everything, you know, quiet and in a way. And so we haven't got a big follow-up on it, but we were aware of everything that happened. It was amazing.
Wow.
Couldn't believe it. Yeah. Talk to the police department.
Wow.
We actually talked to the police department because we had them call 911 to get some action that
yeah.
they believe that happened, and it did. Well, heck. Mindy, can you can stay on until the end of the show here where we have our little get-together, right?
Right.
Super. Because I know there will be a lot of questions. A lot of people have some questions and things, too. And you may believe.
Okay.
We're cutting short here a little bit. But I'm going to mute you out for now. Thank you so much for coming tonight. And, gosh, I think we could talk about this for several hours. You know, this kind of thing. There's a lot of different things. I need to talk to you sometime offline and just get more information and write it down on the, you know, what you, the creature, what the facial features and other things, anything is significant that we can log in.
Okay.
If you don't mind, sometime I'll give you a call to
okay.
do that. But thank you for coming on tonight, and we'll see you at the end of the show here. I'm going to mute you out right now, and we'll go to a commercial and come back, and we'll talk with Tim of New York.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, and if you haven't seen it, you should see it. Go up there on www.shoppingforbigfoot.com and take a look at our movies and things and pick that one out. It's pretty good. We're going to talk with Tim from New York. Tim, how are you tonight, my friend?
Yeah, I'm glad you guys brought up that dog man, that wolf that stands on, it looks like a human. It stands like a human. It has a face like a wolf or some kind of dog. you know, I've been telling people that for years, and everybody's just been looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm just glad you brought it up tonight.
Yeah, yeah. What's been going on, Tim?
Oh, my God, everything. We're finally getting, we've been delayed for a couple weeks. We want to get back. We had a nasty winter up here, as Richard could probably tell you. I think he's not too far from me. The weather's been so bad, and it's just getting sunny, but we still got rain, so finally we're able to get back searching up in the woods. We had a lot of reports up here. One of the reports hit the Marsh Dam again. Marsh Dam is a dam up. It's not really a dam. It's where, you know, it's like a bathroom sink where, you know, too much water goes in the sink. It's just a big hole, but it's kind of like, I can reference it to the legend of Boggy Creek. It's all creek, and this kind of water, we call it the water baboon. It's been following the creeks up there, and I've been getting some phone calls from the residents up there saying there's stuff in the woods and howling again. And it's been going on for quite a long time. So we're going to get back up there on Saturday. And another thing, we're going to get back in the Connecticut Hill, which over the summertime, they had the kid was riding his bike down one of the trails up there. And something crossed the road in front of him. He said it was standing at 2 feet. It was all hairy. He dropped his bike and just ran. So we're going to be up. I'm going to be up there again, and there's some kind of markings in the ground, and I'm going to try to take a picture of it, and hopefully I can send you it if they're still there, you know. It's just some weird markings up there. Yeah. That, and I don't think they're Bigfoot related, but when you see them, you're going to be, what is this, you know? So I'm going to try to get a picture of it, and I'll send you, we got to go deep in the woods. It's so deep in the woods, we got to really travel this Saturday to get to the area. But once we get to it, I hope I get a picture of it, and I send it in to you guys.
Okay, that's fine. That's good.
So we got...
What else?
What's been going on? Yeah, lots going on. The problem in New York, if you're in New York State, I don't want to get into the gun control issue. So I'm not going to skip it, but ammunition-wise, all the ammunition, you know, as Tom knows me, I don't go anywhere without my shotgun in the woods. And I'm not out to kill Bigfoot, but when black bears attack you, and we got cougars up here and panthers and rattlesnakes and all that, so it's just self-protection. But what happened, all the ammunition, because of the gun control laws, were... you know, just taken away, you know. And these gun stores are buying it, and so you want a box of ammunition, it's $30. But I'm pretty well set now after cleaning up the office today, you know. After 6 months, I found a whole lot of it. So that was delaying us, too. And it's very dangerous out there. And, you know, you just got to protect yourself out there, but you don't want to shoot Bigfoot either.
No, I understand. I understand totally.
So hopefully this Saturday, I teamed up with a new team. You know, Becky Sawyer's been gone for, 7 years now. And Dave's been gone, and everybody's just been, you know, disappeared. But, you know, all this Bigfoot stuff now that's been on the radio, and I know that's going to come on TV, and I don't want to spoil the surprise, so I'm not going to say anything. Bigfoot's really is taking grip of America now. So everybody's wants to get involved with it, and it's really getting very famous now. And I think everybody's really in our society is taking it very seriously now. And I see a big change. So it's been pretty busy. I had a couple film crews up here from Canada. We did pretty good here. They were just interested in Bigfoot. I don't know what goes up in Canada there, Bill. You know, when it comes to Bigfoot, I know they have Bigfoot up there. But it seems like they're more interested in the American Bigfoot than the Canadian Bigfoot. So, you know, Canada's been getting very interested in what's going on in America now. So I see a lot of that, you know, starting to brew up now.
Well, maybe they don't like flying into these little fishing camps all over out there.
Yeah, well, I guess it's that. I guess in Canada, I guess it is bad up there, you know. But my big concern is I want to go, as everybody, as I told on your show before, that Bigfoot sighting I had in the Philippines up right next to the tree late at night where it stood up right next to me. So I kind of want to get back in the Philippines and go back in the woods up there and try to find out what's running around up there, you know. And maybe go to Malaysia and Hong Kong and cross on over and see, you know, what's going on in those countries again. So it's very exciting. And, you know, I really think with all the excitement going on in America, I think eventually this year, I think someone's going to come up with, you know, Bigfoot, either dead or alive or, you know, something on film or something. But I truly believe it. I mean, it's just been fantastic the way everything's been going, you know, even talking about it.
Oh, sure. I don't know. Well, gosh, you're going to stick around until the end of the show, right?
We got a terrible thunderstorm coming in. So I'm on my cell phone, and I, believe it or not, I'm back in the woods in the bunker down here.
Oh, gosh.
And we just had a terrible rainstorm. Yeah, I was just, I research at night. You know, I'm like you, you know. I got an office. I'm here in Chemung, and it's supposed to be a top secret bunker, and where, you know, you have all your research gear. But every time I turn around, the press and the media is knocking on the door, and they want to look inside. So, you know, it's a big change, you know. But, yeah, I'm back here at night. In the daytime, I'm back at the apartment. Nighttime, I'm over here. So I do a lot of research at night, and that's it. So that's where I am right now. And we had a big rainstorm come in. We got thunderstorms coming in. So I know Richard's on here.
Don't take any chances out there if you're out there in the weather. Lightning.
Yeah, I just want to tell Richard it's coming his way.
Oh, gosh.
So anyways,
Do me a favor, Tim. How about when you're done next week, when you guys go out there, and then give me a call, let me know what's going on, okay?
Yeah, I'll send you, we're set for Saturday at 11 o'clock up in the hill, and I just want to tell everybody what's going on in New York State, why there's so many sightings that you're going to see in New York State. It's because these management gangs, mountains and all that. Well, New York State has budget cuts up here, and the budget cuts are not funding, you know, camping and all that up here. So what New York State did, they just closed everything. So where you used to camp and fish and all that, of course, Mother Nature has taken it back, and there's no way up there. So this is why you're going to see a lot of sightings now. You know, all the humans are gone, and these places are abandoned, and, you know, here we go, you know. So this is what we're going to do Saturday, and I'll get some pictures to you, Bill. I'm pretty sure we'll find something up there. But I don't want to hope. I'll still be listening to the show, but I want to hear, you know, from everybody else. So I want to put some tape on it and hear what's going on with the other people.
Okay. Well, I'll keep in touch with you.
Yeah, I'll get some pictures to you guys. I'll get some pictures to you what's up there. And, you know,
okay.
We'll see what happens.
Well, thanks for coming on tonight and letting us know what's going on.
Yeah, it's great. I just want to say hi to everybody out there. I haven't been on this radio show for a long time, but, you know, I'm still pushing for the search of Bigfoot. I know everybody else is out there, too, so I think it's fantastic that we could all get together and, you know, share reports and all that, see what's going on around in other states, you know. So it's pretty good. I enjoy it. All right, Bill. Nice talking to you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah,
you take care, Tim.
Yep.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was Tim from New York. We're going to go next here to a real good friend of ours, Lee from Texas. Lee, how are you?
How you doing, Marco Bill?
I am doing great.
That's
well,
good.
Lee, you got some things that have been going on. Plus, you'd also covered the I guess, the Bigfoot convention. Can you give us a little bit of a rundown on all those things?
Sure. Well, I covered a Bigfoot convention here about 3 weeks ago in Fort Worth, Texas. And it was Josh Gates, Jeff Milgram, and a couple of other guys, the Texas Bigfoot Research Conservancy. And they had some, the guys from Texas had some good evidence from a place they've been looking at in Oklahoma, or been working at in Oklahoma for the last 11 years. They had, I mean, real good, they had sightings, they had rock throwing in their cabin at night, you know, and in the middle of the night they'd be asleep, and you would hear rocks hit the roof. I'm talking about boulders hit the roof, not little bitty, you know, rocks.
No, I'm sorry, I know what you mean, big ones.
Yeah, you could hear that. You could hear them before they threw it. You could hear them sound like, you know, they do, like a primate sound before they threw it. And they had some real good evidence. And they've been searching this place for about 11 years now. And back in 2011, or might have been 2012, they spent the whole summer there. They did it in teams, you know, each week. And what they found out, the longer you stay there, the more it makes them mad and curious, you know. They don't want you in their home out there, you know. So that's when they started the rock throwing. Yeah, that's when they started the rock throwing and all that, and wood knocking. And it took about an hour to get back into the location off the main road, to get back into the location where they were researching. And every time they would go in, you would hear a tree knock when somebody come in. And every time somebody was leaving, you hear a tree knock when they're going out. It was real interesting stuff. This was the best one I've been to so far, as far as evidence-wise.
Now, did Dr. Meldrum talk about his grant and the new airship that they're putting together and all that?
Yeah, he talked about that. You know, and a lot of that stuff is on funding. You know, if you don't have everything's like that part of the deal is a non-profit, so you got to raise money to do all that, you know. But they're getting together. He's working on some other stuff, too.
He's gotten it in on the college. He's gotten it in on the grant, there, a lot of the money that they've gotten for some of the equipment and stuff has already been given to him. And so a lot of equipment that they've got has already been given to them. I mean, free gratis.
Yeah, some of it has. You know, when
there's still some other things that they need money for.
Yeah, they're looking at they have some DNA evidence out that they want to get back. As far as, you know, they got it. I don't know where they sent it to. They didn't send it to the lady down here. They sent it to somebody else. So. They should be getting that back.
I wouldn't send it to her. She keeps it.
Yeah, you might not get it back. But
might not.
We know. Yeah, we know that's right.
In the last 4 years.
I guess possession is 9/10 of the law. They say.
Yeah, I guess. Well, one of the things we found out, Lee, is one of the things we found out was, you know, in the DNA. Services that we have in America are pretty much they're not government controlled or owned. They're pretty much, you know, free enterprise type corporations type stuff.
Yeah.
And they worry a lot about the reputation and all that stuff. So what we ended up having to do, went to Europe. And
that's
Europe
what, that's
is...
What...
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it Dr. Sykes in Europe? Is that his name, Dr. Sykes? I think that is his name.
Dr. Sykes?
Yeah,
it might be.
That's where they're sending their stuff to Europe now, too. And plus, you got to realize this. You can't get any scientists to touch this matter. They don't the scientific world don't want to touch it. They don't want to talk about it.
No.
Or nothing like that. And that's hard, you know.
No, they are not until something substantial comes up to where it gets their interest. I mean, it's just like anything else. I mean, they argue and fight over the stupidest things for years and years and years, and then finally when when it's proven, then everybody wants to get on the bandwagon at the same time.
Right. And in 2011, 2011, the Texas Bigfoot Research Center, they shot one up in Oklahoma. They're a pro-kill organization. To protect the species, they want to, they're pro-kill, you know. So they shot one, and they did have blood evidence on some rocks and stuff, but they never could get any DNA off of it. All they got was human contaminated DNA. So, and it took them a couple days to find the blood evidence.
Guess what, Lee? You see,
what's that?
You see, what they're doing is the same mistake we did the first time we did it, and it was coming back human. And guess
yeah.
what?
What's that?
It is human.
Yeah.
Species are human. It was human. And we did the same thing. We got the same results, and we said, "Oh, it must be contaminated." And we did it again, and the same thing came out. And then we put two and two together. We knew it wasn't contaminated. And,
right.
And then they did you have to actually do the mitochondrial to really get the full.
Yeah.
The full.
You can't do the.
And that's pretty
you
expensive.
You can't do the nuclear.
And we did that.
Yeah.
And once we did that. You know, that's 16 billion pairs or whatever that you got to go through. I don't know. But once, and it takes a few months to do. But once they did that, and we got the money to do that, we did it. And it, one of the samples that we had, of course, we don't have it. Somebody else has it. But it came back ancient human.
Yeah.
We can't prove all that because the evidence we have, the other person's holding.
and everybody's saying it's going to take a body, so maybe one of these days they will have it. I think soon. I think with the popularity that this is getting, that maybe it'll be sooner than we think. You know.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, I hope it will. You never know.
Yeah.
But as far as any sightings going on down here, we haven't had too many. You know. We've had a few, but not a whole lot. Go ahead.
How have you been doing?
Oh, pretty good. I've been doing good. Been doing great, you know, trying to take care of the family and the wife and stuff.
That's number one.
Yeah, that is. Sure is. But... And Josh Gates at the conference is real interesting. That guy's a real funny guy, real nice guy. Real nice guy, you know. He does that Destination Truth thing on the Sci-Fi Channel, that program.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where he goes around the world looking for, you know, cryptid creatures and stuff like that. And he's had a lot of neat stuff, too. And that guy is super nice, I'll tell you. And Bill Munns was there.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
And he talked about the Patty footage and all that, you know. So that it was pretty interesting, you know, about what everybody talked about.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you coming on to letting us know all that. You're going to stick around for the end of the show, right? You can talk to...
Yeah, I'll stick around.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to go to our next guest, then. And thank you, Lee. I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
Well, I'll keep in touch with you as
Sounds
time
good.
Goes by here. But don't be afraid. You can give me a call anytime. You know that.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you in a little bit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Lee from Texas. And now we're going to go to Richard from New York. Richard, how are you?
I'm excellent, Marco. Thank you.
I got to tell you something right off. Did you take a look at the pictures I put up?
Yes. I work hard on those, Marco, and I'm trying to send you untouched ones so that you can play with them.
Yeah. No, send me the untouched ones because what I did is I took the untouched ones that you did, and that gives me... so much more clarity to go in and magnify it up to where you can actually see what it is. Mm-hmm. And that works great. You can take a look at those, and now you can when you see in the color one, it's you can see it a little bit, but when you see the black and white portion of it, it's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Especially the little babies, right?
Let me tell you something, Marco. I've never said this to you before, you or Tom. When I first started going in there, I only have 9 toes because I'm a diabetic and I lost my big toe on my right foot. So I don't walk at a 2-even gait. I don't walk straight like other people do. It's just an unbalanced gait. And I was about 100 yards in, Marco, and everything I tell you and Tom is the absolute truth about the samurai voices, everything.
Oh, and no, I understand.
And I heard a scream. I was walking, and I must have got two. You saw from the photos how it looks like they're right at the edge of the path, okay? The babies?
Yeah, so they are right at the edge of the path.
And I heard a scream, Marco. For a long time, I thought it was a rabbit, all right? But after
yeah,
the scream.
Yeah, they scream.
After the scream, to my left, maybe 150 yards away, I thought I saw what must have been a big male on all fours coming in to investigate the scream, evidently, okay? But just before that, I had been told that I was taking pictures of blob squatches, okay? And I never said anything about it. I thought it was a rabbit. But now I think it wasn't a rabbit from looking at those photos, and it was too damn loud, Marco, believe me. Rabbit can't, and I've never seen a rabbit in there. I've never seen a rabbit. I've gone in there at least 300 times, and I've never seen a rabbit or a squirrel, ever. And I in my neighborhood, I can see all kinds of rabbits. It's a nature preserve. Why aren't there any rabbits or squirrels? Don't make sense, does it?
Oh, no, I understand,
I've never seen another mammal in there, except I've seen deer tracks. Probably coyote tracks. I've never seen a mammal in there. Porcupine.
Well, the reason probably is because they get ate up.
There's supposed to be porcupine squirrels, minks and all that stuff in there. There's nothing in there. I've never seen anything.
Yeah.
I've seen birds. And the one photo of the baby, I can actually see a face on that. I don't know if you can see
it. Well, I mean, if you look at the picture, it's pretty, to me, it's very unmistakable. You can see the arms, you see the face, and you can see what looks like another baby right below it.
Right. And there's a black
baby. But you don't
baby.
See the whole thing. You can see pretty clear. And what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, you go up on www.bigfootlive.com. Go to here's what's on now, or into the page where I have the listings of the guests for the show tonight. And under Richard's listing, you're going to see 6 pictures. And what I did is I show one picture in color, and then another picture in black and white, and it gives you the full offset. And there's actually 3 different ones that I picked. The others were too difficult because I couldn't get good clarity on them. And so rather than screw around and try to, I just put the ones that you had some sort of a clarity on, you could take a look at. But you look at them, the very first one is babies. And when you look at it, in the color picture, it's more difficult to see. But in the black and white picture, it stands out like a sore thumb. And I hadn't done anything else other than just do a black and white. Now, there's other things you can do to really make it stand out. I didn't do that to those pictures. But if you look at it, and it looks, they're little tiny little things. They're cute. I mean,
like teddy bears.
The one you can see the face and the arms, and then it looks like there's another one just below it. You can't see very good definition of the one below it. You can tell that there's something else there. But that one you can see very clearly. It looks very clearly. And now, is it a Bigfoot? We don't know. We were assuming it would be a baby. It looks like a baby. It may be full-grown something that's only a foot high. I don't know. 2 feet high. I don't know. 18 inches or whatever, right? But to me, that's what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it looks like to you?
That's what it looks like. It looks like it's a, the one looks like it's a black, kind of probably the size of a cat. Would you say it's about like maybe like that? But there's
oh no no no. It looks like a small. To me, it looked like a bigger than that. I mean, it.
Yeah.
It looked like a baby. I mean, you know, like a.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like it'd be the size of a baby.
And it takes hours.
A small
and hours.
Baby.
Marco, it takes me hours and hours to pick that stuff out. You know that?
Well, I know,
I'm
but
on that computer.
See, I didn't have to pick it out. When you gave me the full resolution thing, I picked it out right by myself, right away.
Mm-hmm. There's something.
So when you send me, I'm sending me the full resolution. Don't.
I'll send you.
Don't send me
a. You know what I can do?
Yeah, yeah, and send me ones marked up if you want, but send the full resolution one with it because that makes a lot of difference.
I just send you both so that you have a clue of where to look, but I will send you the
original. No, I understand. Yeah, and it worked well. It worked very well.
I just want people to know.
And I appreciate you taking the time to do all that, too. I mean,
yes.
It wasn't easy to do. I know it takes a long time to do that.
Well, let me just say one
thing. Well, gosh.
When I'm working on my stuff, I listen to other shows, and this is the only show I ever learn anything from. Them other guys, it's all about personalities and laughing and yucking and acting stupid. You guys, this is serious. I want to learn.
Well, I think we all need to learn from each other. I mean, I don't think there's what we could call an expert, because what are you an expert in? We don't know. I mean, we don't even know how many different species of this thing there are. We know very little. And even through all these years, we keep coming up with more and more new, different things. And that's why I ask all these questions. I know it irritates a lot of people when I start asking questions about facial features and things like that. But the reason I do that is I'm really curious to find out, because there are so many different characteristics of different creatures, different types of creatures, and that makes a lot of difference. But anyway, hey, let's go to our little. You want to go to our little Swahili thing? You ready?
Ready.
Richard?
I'm ready.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost. No, I lost. Oh, I lost Minnie.
I'm all ready to go.
Jeez. Okay. Well, I'm going to unmute everybody. We'll start a little question and answer period here. And I got Lee. I got Richard. I got Tim from New York. I got Swede. I got Mindy's here. And I got Steve, the Gentle Giant. Steve, you can unmute yourself. I got Rocky. Everybody's online. So who would like to start out first? Mindy, did you have any questions?
I'm just curious as to, you know, what other creatures people have seen.
Okay. Did you get a chance to look at our the radio show website? At the baby's picture that
I couldn't find that. I don't know where it is.
If you look in your, I'll tell you what, an easy way to do it, you go to your email.
Yeah.
And that show guest list that I sent out, it's got the links right in it. You can take a look at it right there.
Really?
I put the links in so you could, sometimes people are in the chat room. So what I do is I put it in the, email. That way they got a way to look at the picture.
Oh, okay, I see it. I see
without
it
having
now.
To change.
Okay.
Yeah.
Marco, I got a question for Tim.
Yeah.
Tim, have you actually had a visual sighting?
Yeah, but believe it or not, in 1982 in the Philippines when I was in the Navy, Clark Air Force Base, and as I told people before, When you're in the Navy, you're not thinking about Bigfoot or UFOs or ghosts or anything. You just think about getting out of the Navy. Mm-hmm. And we were over there at the base. I was trying to get back to Okinawa, Japan. So I had to leave 5:30 in the morning. And base housing is like, if you get the letter L and draw a straight line and take a left, okay, base housing is on the top, and then you go down. Then you, you know, the end is the base. So you had to go like half a mile. You know, you go down straight and take the left. And right on the corner, my friends were telling me about something was running around, you know, the housing at night. And, of course, I didn't believe them, you know. You know, I wasn't into Bigfoot yet. I left 5:30 in the morning, and I finally found out what it was. Yeah, believe it or not, it was I went down, and I was just taking that left turn. There was something next to the tree. I went over there, and I thought it was some Air Force guy that got drunk, you know, too much to drink, and tried to make it back. But this thing, Richard, was, its back was against the tree, and it was just big. And I asked it if it was okay, and it started getting up, and it just ripped the bark off the tree. It took its hand, pushed itself up, and all I remember, it took its right hand, his right arm, and I mean, it was a big arm. It went way, way up in the air. It pulled itself up. I was standing right next to it. I mean, it could have grabbed me. And all I remember is these big cat eyes and this bullet head, and it had hair all over it, and these big arms, and it just looked down at me for a couple of seconds, and then it just turned away and went back in the woods. So, yeah, I did have one. And, you know, like I say, I believed in Bigfoot. I knew about Bigfoot, but you know, I never really thought I would run into it like that. But, yeah, it's a true story. It really happened.
How about in New York State? Have you seen one there?
We're finding footprints. I did have a encounter with the Marsh Dam water baboon a couple summers ago, and that was late at night. It came. It rained down here, of course, and we had a lot of fog. And I got up at Marsh Dam like midnight, and you know, it was like 90 in the daytime, and then it rained at night, so there was a lot of fog, and I was shining my spotlight, and something came up the hill. You know, Marsh Dam, you know, you're way up in the road, and you know, it just curves down like 100 yards, but something did come up the hill, and it was standing there, and I just saw this big outline, and started making that noise. You know, it was strange. You know, you talk about the noise about what was making it in your game, man, down there. It was basically the same noise, believe it or not. And I just got out of there, you know. And I turned around and I turned my lights on, but it already went back to the, you know, the dam. So, you know, we're still up here searching. So we're going to, like I said, we're going to go out Saturday back on Connecticut Hill. And I'll send Bill, I'll send you a lot of pictures when we get deep inside the woods because no one's been there. So it's kind of creepy, you know, going in there. But I'm pretty sure we'll probably find something. I'll get as many pictures as I can when I'm in the woods.
Because the way I'm saying that is because
okay.
I want some. Because what I see from what I've taken pictures of and stuff, I don't see any sagittal crest like in the Patterson film. I see a more rounded head. I'm not saying there's not big ones because I've had 21 inch foot footprints. But I don't see gorilla.
Well,
I don't see no gorilla-looking thing. They might be somewhere between a chip and a human in looks, in all different degrees.
Like I say, Richard, like Bill and everybody was talking, the gentleman from Texas was talking, the one that I seen in the Philippines had, it looked just like a bullet head, but I did hear reports of more of a human head. So it's just, if you watch the one of the reality documents was the Legend of Boggy Creek down there in Texas, and that went on, I think, from 73 to, that went on for 10 years. That's a real story. A friend, Smokey Crabtree, and that was more of an ape, but I remember watching that on the news in 73. So it's just, the head is always going to be different the way I see it. You know, you're going to see the bullet head, more of a human head, So hopefully someone could get out there and, you know, hopefully he'll run into it and, you know, get a good picture so we can really get something. Smokey Crabtree had the opportunity, but in the legend of Boggy Creek, but, you know, you don't expect to run into it in the woods if you don't really believe in it. He was just squirrel hunting and it stood right in front of him. It's definitely a missed opportunity to take a picture, but just like me in the Philippines, I didn't have a camera either. There's, I mean, what a missed opportunity that I had.
When they're moving, you're not going to get them, believe me.
Yeah, believe me, when they turn around and go, they just go.
You're not going to get them. They're so quick. I don't know if anybody else has ever seen one move. How about you, Steve? Have you seen anything, seen them move?
Any what?
Have you seen them move? Have you seen one actually move?
I've seen them move fast. I've seen them move slow. I've seen them hide behind trees, not even 10 feet away from me, and they've never bothered me. So I've never had that, mm-hmm. as far as anything else, I've never really had that problem. I think they don't really fear me because of my height.
Could be. That could very well
Mindy,
be.
Mindy, did you get a chance to look at that thing?
The pictures? I couldn't really tell much on them.
No, the baby. Just look at the baby.
Just the baby one?
I looked at it.
Okay, let me look.
Yeah.
I looked at it, Marco.
There's a color one, and then there's a black and white one.
Yep.
The one I can't see. It won't download for me. Okay, let me look at the other one.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why it won't, but yeah, I can't tell anything from the picture on the second one. Yeah, it won't download.
Hmm. Well, later you can go to the website and you'll probably be able to get it. But there's a different, you know, like we were talking about before, there are different kinds of these creatures. And that's what makes it so interesting is the variety of differences there are. And we've had at least three different DNA type things that have happened to us. So if it's not the same DNA, it's not the same DNA. It's a different creature. And we've had three different ones.
That's interesting. So what did the three different... What did the three different ones look like then?
Well, the one was off of a skeleton. Okay, it was an 8-foot skeleton. There's actually two skeletons, and they took the jawbone and the tooth, and they had DNA done on it, and it was 2,500 years old. It was carbon dated, and it came up two genomes. It was not human. It was not ape. But it was three genomes from humans.
Okay.
And, you know, when they did the mitochondrial. Now, the other things that we had a toenail and a couple other things that we did, some hair samples. And ancient human, 15,000 years. The issue is, in order to do mitochondrial DNA, it takes a lot of money. I mean, I think it costs us $6,000 just to get that one done. And that's a lot of money, you know, to get a DNA done.
Brave.
And then we didn't get it back.
Marco, you know what to me is intriguing? If you're talking about that, it's possible that Neanderthals all didn't all die out. Who knows?
Nope.
Well, I'm not sure. It didn't come up Neanderthal.
No.
There is a DNA thing for Neanderthal, but there's what we think is there's different other subhuman species that might be there, and most of the non-human species died out because they couldn't survive the environment. But guess what? I mean, maybe some of these did. And so there may be a smattering of different kinds of species, including ancient human, that are out there. We don't know. I mean, we don't. I mean, this is just a theory right now, because based on just on some, you know, some of the evidence that we've got, we don't have enough evidence to make anything stick. We just have, you know, when you actually have several samples of the same thing, then you have something. You know what I'm talking about? You just can't do it with one or two samples. You have to have a, you have to have a spread of samples that would be, you know, identifiable.
Question, Marco.
But what Mindy was saying is, Mindy was talking about hers, and they were very human-looking. Other people that I've talked to, depending upon the area that you're at, they were more ape-looking, or, you know, more of a flat, you know, ape face, not ape, but a flat face like an ape, and a flat nose, but not a snout like an ape has. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Question, Marco.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's, you know, there's differences, and also differences in the body size. She was talking about a real thin, you know, real thin, narrow creature, and there are a lot of other people that have, you know, they're not real heavily built creatures. They're thinner. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But there's others that are like heavy duty, no neck.
I was talking about the width of his body was narrow because it's because he's such a young juvenile.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
He hadn't started filling out yet.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a young youngster, just like human would be. Wouldn't, you know. But, I mean, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you know, a lot of people, they take exception when somebody's seen something different than what they've seen, and then they question it. But I stopped doing that because every time I did that, I was passing up an opportunity to learn more about something else that I didn't know. And so what I started doing was trying to find evidence to accept things and to look for those differences and try to put those differences together. And I'll tell you, over the years here, over the past 7 years, there's been quite a few. Now, I got to tell you, I mean, I've interviewed somewhere near about 500 or 600 people in the last 7 years, I think. That's a lot of people. And I'll tell you, I mean, if you were to take a certain variety or certain species of these things, these people have no way of knowing who they are, where they are, or the other person at all, and they describe item by item exactly for that particular kind of species, everything the same, the characteristics, the sounds, everything. And, I mean, over and over again. But
I think they're fascinating.
There's
we
the variation.
We need the DNA in all of them.
Well, yeah, but sometimes getting DNA is not that simple sometimes.
I know.
We can get DNA from hair. We can get DNA from skin, from blood, you know, bones, teeth, you know, things like that. But it's difficult sometimes to be able to do that. Because the creatures, you know, first of all, I mean, anytime we take a footprint, the very first thing we do is when we take a cast is we look for hairs at the bottom of the cast and try to draw those out and put them in a bag and label them, you know,
mm-hmm.
and get them, you know, get them ready for a DNA. But, and sometimes you have scrape marks and, you know, where they've scraped through a fence or a tree or in a cave or something. And you can get hair samples that way. But
that's awesome.
You know, it's amazing. I mean, we know they have fingerprints, and we know the footprints have dermal ridges on them. I mean, we've got a lot of footprints, and we know the footprints vary. We know they have different footprints. There's a regular 10 toes, and then there's a 3-toed version of this thing. I have no idea. But I've seen it several times in several different places.
Okay,
and
well,
come out.
No, okay, so that 3-toed one, that's the one that you're talking about is a type of dog man, right?
No. It's a regular Bigfoot. It's got three toes.
Oh, well, okay. So
yeah,
then
the dog man one has been described to me as having almost like a regular dog feet or dog legs. They're jointed the same way a dog is everything, but it walks on 2 feet.
Okay, so then the
and it runs.
Okay.
It's
that's
just like almost. Sorry for butting in there, Bill, but it's like a human being. Not all human beings are born the same. We're all born differently. So Bigfoots basically go through the same thing. They're born differently.
Oh no, I understand. But even the DNA has differences in them, and you see what I'm saying. And so, if the DNA has differences, that means it's a different species. So there may be several different species out there. We just don't know enough about it. That's all I'm saying. I mean, we've got a lot to learn.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, I
was going to say maybe he migrated with a bullfrog.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's there's some amazing things out there. Certainly blew our minds. You know, we were always out there. Well, when we first started this, we weren't even looking for a Bigfoot. We were looking for a guy in a suit.
Yeah, but I don't think that guy in the suit went far
2 feet
back
away from a Bigfoot
either.
Until we got 2 feet away from his face, and then we really seen one, and then we believed it. So I can't say anything against anybody that doesn't believe, because we didn't in the beginning
me
as
either.
Well, until we actually had our own, you know, our own sighting of it. But it's amazing. I'm sorry, I just got carried away. But does anybody have any questions?
I was going to say, you know, I talk about this skunk ape three toes. Now, I seen it before, you know, we had cell phones and Photoshop and all this. You know, you go back to the legend in Boggy Creek. I remember seeing, and I'll try to find this on the internet or research it. But they did find remains of allegedly it's a skunk ape, and it was supposed to be the one that was terrorizing using Boggy Creek up there. Now, I like I said, this was before we had, you know, cell phones and all that. And there is a photo of it, and you'd be surprised what it looks like in the feed and all that. I'll try to find it on the internet.
Well, let me tell you, Tom is intimately familiar. Tom is intimately familiar with that because Tom, Smokey Crabtree happens to be one of Tom's friends. Tom went down there to investigate that, and so him and his team went down there to investigate it some time ago. That's you're right. Before they had cell phones and all that stuff.
Yeah, before they had.
You gotta understand. Tom's been doing this. Tom's been doing this for 46, 47 years now, 45 years. I don't know.
You guys got a picture of it.
Oh, no, 40 years. I'm sorry. Yeah, 40 years.
Yeah.
I've been doing all this.
There is a picture of it, and I'll try, unless you guys have it somewhere, the remains are still in Texas somewhere. And
But there's been other places.
The hunters were out there, and they just stumbled across it one afternoon.
Yeah.
There's
been other places where we had reports of a three-toed. We have casts of a three-toed. We have footprint pictures of three toes. I mean, not just the legend of Boggy Creek, but other places besides that. That we've come across the years.
I'll try to find a picture of it in the book, and I'll send it in to you. So hopefully you can put it up there. Last time I saw this photo was a long time ago, but. Hopefully they tagged it on the internet, and hopefully I can find it. But yeah, it's a whole body. It's just this big, massive body, you know.
Yeah.
So I'll try to find it for you guys, and you know, send it in.
Sure, no problem. So Mindy, what did you think?
As far as what?
Well, I mean all this. I mean, did I answer your question or?
So much to learn about this. You know,
Well, don't feel bad. We all do.
I know. It's just, you know, I'll have to. You said that they're somewhere on the website. I got to find that. I haven't had a chance to look yet because I'm, you know, listening.
What was that for you?
You said that you have somewhere on the website that you have some sketches or something or of the different types.
Yeah. What I'll do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up and I'll get you some different things and send them to you so you can see them
okay.
firsthand.
Okay.
And did I give you the link for the Russian thing? The Alma?
I'm
did
not
you get
sure.
that? Well, 1850.
Marco,
yeah.
When I was in Armenia
yeah.
2 years ago, I actually asked about the Alma. And they two names, Alma and Almaty, right? Are those
yeah.
the two names? Nobody knew nothing
yeah.
about it. This is people in the Caucasus. They didn't know anything about it.
Well, it's a legend there, and there's quite a few write-ups on it.
Yeah, I know. I expected to hear something.
But you got to understand where this took place. This didn't take place in your mainstream Russia. This mm-hmm. took place way back in a small village, way the heck out there. I can't remember the name of the town or whatever, but it's not your normal kind of thing. And it, basically, they caught one, and it was a female, and it had three children. The first child died because it tried to wash it in ice water, and then the town ladies took the other two children and raised them. And the children were raised just like normal children, and they looked like normal children and everything else. But the female never was able to talk. She would trudge around town. It's kind of a neat story anyway. And they're trying to find the graves and stuff. The latest one died in 1952 or 53 or 1951. I can't remember the year right offhand. In the early 50s. And the last child died. And what they were trying to do, there was a group trying to figure out where the Alma's grave was based on historical reference. But it was very difficult because of all the different things that happened. You know, in Russia, the turmoil and stuff that happened in Russia over the years has been, like, horrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, millions of people killed and stuff for Stalin and all those other things. So, I don't know. But it's a pretty neat accounting. Yeah.
I was going to say, if you wanted to, I have two Bigfoot pictures on my Facebook account. I'm not sure what album it's in, but you have to go through them all. And both of them were basically a fluke. One, I tripped, and the camera flew out of my hand, snapped a picture, and I got half the shoulder of a Bigfoot in its head, but his back must have been turned when it happened. And then the other one, you can barely see, I got it circled or something like that.
Uh-huh.
That's under Stephen. That's Steven. The last name is Cauthron, Cauthron. I'm the only tall giant on that page that I know of.
Thanks, Steve. Well, I have a lot
and
of
Richard,
pictures.
Richard, if you want to keep your diabetes down, drink distilled water.
Distilled water?
Distilled water. Keep your diabetic down.
You know, I'm having a big problem with neuropathy. I'll try anything.
Distilled water.
Distilled water. How often?
Glass a day.
A glass a day? I'll try it, my friend. Thank you.
But
sorry, Bill. Didn't
one of the things I was
going to
tell you, everybody, is that I have a lot of pictures. I have a lot of pictures of these creatures. But due to copyright laws and things, they don't belong to me. They belong to other people, and I cannot share them. I cannot post them. I have them I'm allowed to have them to look at. And as far as being able to put them on any place, I can't, because that was one of the restrictions they gave me when they gave me the pictures to look at. And we have quite a few of those, but there are others that aren't that I have. And that I have shared, but I will Committee, I will send you some different pictures and things that you can take a look at, the drawings and stuff like that that we have, okay? And I'll get those to you. Well, everybody, I want to thank everybody for coming on tonight and sharing, and I appreciate all your time and efforts that you took to your time off to come on the show and talk to everybody. I want to wish everybody the very best, and we will see everybody next week. I say keep Bigfooting, keep hunting, and good luck. We'll see you next week. Hopefully Tom will be back next week. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Bill.
Night. Thank you.
Good night, Bill.
Bye, Bill. Thanks.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're all together.